and right anon he changed his array, and clad him as a poor labourer, and all alone, save only a squire that knew his privity and all his case, which was disguised poorly as he was. To Athens is he gone the next way. And to the court he went upon a day, and at the gate he proffered his service, to drudge and draw whatso men will devise. And shortly of this matter for to sayn, he fell in office with a chamberlain, the which that dwelling was with Emily. For he was wise, and could soon espy of every servant which that serveth her. Well could he hew in wood and water bear, for he was young and mighty for the nones, and thereto he was strong and big of bones, to do what any wight can him devise. A year or two he was in this service, page of the chamber of Emily the Bright, and philostrate he said that he hight. But half so well beloved a man as he, ne was there never in court of his degree. He was so gentle of condition that throughout all the court was his renown. They saidn that it were a charity that Theseus would enhancen his degree, and putten him in worshipful service there as he might his virtue exercise. And thus within a while his name is sprung both of his deeds and of his good tongue, that Theseus has taken him so near that of his chamber he made him a squire, and gave him gold to maintain his degree. And eke men brought him out of his country from year to year full privily his rent. But honestly and slyly he it spent, that no man wondered how that he it had. And 3 years in this wise his life he led, and bore him so in peace and eke in war. There was no man that Theseus hath more dear. And in this bliss let I now Arcite, and speak I will of Palamon alight. In darkness and horrible and strong prison this 7 year has sitten Palamon, for pined, what for woe and for distress. Who feeleth double sore and heaviness but Palamon, that love distraineth so that wood out of his wit he goes for woe? And eke thereto he is a prisoner perpetually, not only for a year. Who could rhyme in English properly his martyrdom? Forsooth, it am not I. Therefore I pass as lightly as I may. It fell that in the 7th year of May the 3rd night, as olden books saying that all this story telling more plain, were it by aventure or destiny, as when a thing is shapen, it shall be, that soon after the midnight, Palamon, by helping of a friend, broke his prison, and fled the city fast as he may go, for he had given his jailer drink so of a claret made of a certain wine with narcotics and opium of Thebes fine, that all that night, though that men would him shake, the jailer slept. He might not awake. And thus he flees as fast as ever he may. The night was short, and fast by the day, that needs cost he must himself and hide. And to a grove fast there beside, with dreadful foot then stalketh Palamon. For shortly, this was his opinion, that in that grove he would him hide all day. And in the night then would he take his way to Thebes' word, his friends for to pray, on Theseus to help him to array. And shortly, either he would lose his life, or win in Emily unto his wife. This is the effect and his intent plain. Now will I turn unto Arcite again, that little wist how nigh that was his care, till that fortune had brought him in the snare. The busy lark, messenger of day, salueth in her song the morrow grey, and fiery Phoebus riseth up so bright that all the Orient laugheth of the light, and with his streams drieth in the greaves the silver drops hanging on the leaves. And Archytas, that in the court royal with Theseus is squire principal, is risen and looketh on the merry day. And for to do observance unto May, remembering on the point of his desire, he on a courser startling as the fire is rid into the fields him to play, out of the court were it a mile or tway. And to the grove of which that I you told, by aventure his way he gan to hold, to make in him a garland of the greaves, were it of woodbine or of hawthorn leaves. And loud he sang against the sun's sheen, May, with all thy flowers and thy green, welcome be thou, fair fresh May, in hope that I some green getten may. And from his courser with a lusty heart into the grove full hastily he start, and in a path he roameth up and down, thereas by aventure this Palamon was in a bush that no man might him see, for sore afeared of his death was he. Nothing then knew he that it was Archite. God wot he would have trowed it full light. But sooth is said, gone sith in many years, that field hath eyes and the wood hath ears. It is full fair a man to bear him even, for all day meeten men at onset Stephen. Full little wot Archite of his fellow, that was so nigh to hearken all his saw, for in the bush he sitteth now full still. When that Archite had roamed all his fill, and sung in all the roundel lustily, into a study he fell suddenly, as do these lovers in their quaint gears, now in the crop, now down in the briars, now up, now down, as bucket in a well. Right as the Friday, soothly for to tell, now it shineth, now it raineth fast. Right so can Gary Venus overcast the hearts of her folk, right as her day is gearful. Right so changeth she array. Seldom is Friday all the week alike. When that Archite had sung, he gan to sigh, and set him down without an any more. Alas, quod he, that day that I was born. How long, Juno, through thy cruelty, wilt thou war on Thebes the city? Alas, it brought us to confusion the blood royal of Cadme and Amphion, of Cadmus, which that was the first man that Thebes built, or first the town began, and of the city first was crowned king. Of his lineage am I, and his offspring, by very line as of the stock royal. And now I am so caitiff and so thrall, that he that is my mortal enemy, I serve him as his squire poorly. And yet does Juno me well more shame, for I dare not beknow mine own name. But there as I was wont to hight Archite, now hight I Philostrate, not worth a mite. Alas, thou fell Mars! Alas, Juno! Thus has your ire our lineage all fordo, save only me and wretched Palamon, that Theseus martyreth in prison. And over all this, to slay me utterly, love has his fiery dart so burningly ysticked through my true careful heart, that shapen was my death erst than my shirt. You slay me with your iron, Emily. You be the cause wherefore that I die. Of all the remnant of mine other care, ne set I not the montance of a tear, so that I could do aught to your pleasance. And with that word he fell down in a trance a long time. And after, up he start. This Palamon, that thought that through his heart he felt a cold sword suddenly glide, for ire he quoke. No longer would he bide. And when that he had heard Archytas' tale, as he were wood, with face dead and pale, he start him up out of the bushes thick, and said, "Archite, false traitor wick, now art thou hent that lovest my lady so, for whom that I have all this pain and woe, and art my blood, and to my counsel sworn, as I full oft have told thee here before, and hast bejaped here Duke Theseus, and falsely changed hast thy name thus. I will be dead, or else thou shalt die. Thou shalt not love my lady Emily, but I will love her only, and no more, for I am Palamon, thy mortal foe, and though that I no weapon have in this place, but out of prison am astart by grace, I dread not that either thou shalt die, or thou ne shalt not love an Emily. Choose which thou wilt, or thou shalt not astart." This Archite, with full despiteous heart, when he him knew and had his tale heard, as fierce as lion pulled out his sword, and said thus, "By God that sits above, ne'er it that thou art sick and wood for love, and eke that thou no weapon hast in this place, thou shouldst never out of this grove pace, that thou ne shouldst dien of my hand. For I defy the surety and the bond which that thou sayest that I have made to thee. What, very fool, think well that love is free, and I will love her, maugre all thy might. But for as much as thou art a worthy knight, and willnest to derain her by battle, have here my truth. Tomorrow I will not fail, without enwitting of any other wight, that here I will be founden as a knight, and bring in harness right enough for thee, and choose the best, and leave the worst to me. And meat and drink this night will I bring, enough for thee, and clothes for thy bedding. And if so be that thou my lady win, and slay me in this wood where I am in, thou mayst well have thy lady as for me." This Palamon answered, "I grant it thee." And thus they be departed till a morrow, when each of them had laid his faith to borrow. O Cupid, out of all charity, O rain that would no fellow have with thee, full sooth is said that love nor lordship will not, his thanks, have no fellowship. Well find in that, Archite and Palamon. Archite is ridden anon unto the town, and on the morrow, ere it were day's light, full privily to harness has he dight, both sufficient and meet to derain the battle in the field betwixt them twain. And on his horse, alone as he was born, he carrieth all this harness him before. And in the grove, at time and place is set, this Archite and this Palamon be met. To changen gan the colour in their face, right as the hunters in the realm of Thrace, that standeth at the gap with a spear, when hunted is the lion or the bear, and heareth him come rushing in the greaves, and breaketh both the boughs and the leaves, and thinks, "Here comes my mortal enemy. Without and fail, he must be dead or I, for either I must slay him at the gap, or he must slay me, if that me mishap." So fared they in changing of their hue, as far as ever each other of them knew. There was no good day, nor no saluing, but straight, without an word or rehearsing, ever each of them helped to arm the other, as friendly as he were his own brother. And after that, with sharp spears, strong, they foin in each at other wonder long. Thou mightest ween that this Palamon in his fighting were a wood lion, and as a cruel tiger was Archite, as wild boars gone on they to smite, that frothen white as foam for ire wood. Up to the ankle fought they in their blood. and in this wise I let them fighting dwell, and forth I will of Theseus you tell. The Destiny, minister general, that executeth in the world over all the purveyance that God has seen before, so strong it is that, though the world had sworn the contrary of a thing by yea or nay, yet sometimes it shall fallen on a day that falls not eft within a thousand year. For certainly our appetites here, be it of war, or peace, or hate, or love, all is this ruled by the sight above. This mean I now by mighty Theseus, that for to hunten is so desirous, and namely at the great heart in May, that in his bed there dawneth him no day that he nis clad and ready for to ride, with hunt and horn and hounds him beside. For in his hunting has he such delight, that it is all his joy and appetite to be himself the great heart's bane, for after Mars he serveth now Daene. Clear was the day, as I have told ere this, and Theseus, with all joy and bliss, with his Hippolyta, the fair queen, and Emily, clothed all in green, on hunting be they ridden royally, and to the grove that stood full fast by, in which there was a hart, as men him told. Duke Theseus the straight way has hold, and to this land he rideth him full right, for thither was the hart wont have his flight, and over a brook, and so forth on his way. This duke will have a course at him, or tway, with hounds such as that him list command. And when this duke was come unto the land, under the sun he looketh, and anon he was ware of Arcite and Palamon, that fought and bream as it were bulls too. The bright swords went in to and fro so hideously that with the least stroke it seemed as it would fell an oak. But what they were, nothing he knew what. This duke his courser with his spurs smote, and at a start he was betwixt them two, and pulled out a sword, and cried, "Woe, no more! On pain of losing of your head, by mighty Mars, he shall anon be dead that smiteth any stroke that I may see. But telleth me what mister men you be, that be so hardy for to fight in here, withouten judge or other officer, as it were in a lists royally." This Palamon answered hastily, and said, "Sir, what needeth words more? We have the death deserved both too. Two woeful wretches be we, two caitiffs, that be encumbered of our own lives. And as thou art a rightful lord and judge, ne give us neither mercy nor refuge. But slay me first, for Saint Charity. But slay my fellow eke as well as me. Or slay him first, for though thou knowest it light, this is thy mortal foe, this is Arcite, that from thy land is banished on his head, for which he has deserved to be dead. For this is he that came unto thy gate, and said that he hight a Philostrate. Thus has he japed thee full many a year, and thou hast made him thy chief squire. And this is he that loveth Emily. For since the day is come that I shall die, I make plainly my confession, that I am Thilke, woeful Palamon, that has thy prison broken wickedly. I am thy mortal foe, and it am I that loveth so hot Emily the bright, that I will die present in her sight. Wherefore I ask death and my due eyes. But slay my fellow in the same wise, for both have we deserved to be slain." This worthy duke answered anon again, and said, "This is a short conclusion. Your own mouth by your confession hath damned you, and I will it record. It needeth not to pine you with the cord. You shall be dead by mighty Mars the Red." The queen anon for very womanhood gan for to weep, and so did Emily, and all the ladies in the company. Great pity was it, as it thought them all, that ever such a chance should befall. For gentlemen they were of great estate, and nothing but for love was this debate. and saw their bloody wounds wide and sore, and all cried, both less and more, "Have mercy, Lord, upon us women all!" And on their bare knees adown they fall, and would have kissed his feet there as he stood, till at the last aslaked was his mood, for pity runneth soon in gentle heart, and though he first for ire quoke and start, he has considered shortly in a clause the trespass of them both, and eke the cause. And although that his ire their guilt accused, yet in his reason he them both excused, as thus. He thought well that every man will help himself in love, if that he can, and eke deliver himself out of prison. And eke his heart had compassion of women, for they wept him ever in one. And in his gentle heart he thought anon, and soft unto himself he said, "Fie upon a lord that will have no mercy, but be a lion both in word and deed to them that be in repentance and dread, as well as to a proud, despitous man that will maintain what he first began. That lord has little of discretion, that in such case can no division, but weigheth pride and humbless after one." And shortly, when his ire is thus agone, he gan to looken up with iron light, and spoke these same words, all on height: "The God of love, ah, benedicity, how mighty and how great a Lord is he! Against his might there gaineth no obstacles. He may be clept a god for his miracles, for he can maken at his own guise of every heart as that him list devise. Lo, here this Archite and this Palamon, that quitly were an out of my prison, and might have lived in Thebes royally, and wit I am their mortal enemy, and that their death lies in my might also. And yet has love, maugre their iron too, brought them hither both for to die. Now looketh, is not that a high folly? Who may be a fool, but if he love? Behold, for God's sake that sits above, see how they bleed. Be they not well arrayed? Thus has their Lord, the God of love, ypaid their wages and their fees for their service. And yet they weenen for to be full wise that serve in love for aught that may befall. But this is yet the best game of all, that she for whom they have this jollity can them therefore as much thank as me. She wot no more of all this hot fare, by God, than what a cuckoo or a hare. But all must be assayed, hot and cold. A man must be a fool, or young or old. I wot it by myself full yore agone, for in my time a servant was I one, and therefore, since I know of love's pain, and wot how sore it can a man distrain, as he that has been caught oft in his lass, I you forgive all wholly this trespass, at request of the queen that kneeleth here, and eke of Emily, my sister dear. And you shall both anon unto me swear that never more you shall my country dare, nor make war upon me night or day, but be my friends in all that you may. I you forgive this trespass every deal." And they him swore his asking fair and well, and him of lordship and of mercy prayed. And he them granted grace, and thus he said, "To speak of royal lineage and riches, though that she were a queen or a princess, each of you both is worthy, doubtless, to wedden when time is. But nevertheless, I speak as for my sister Emily, for whom you have this strife and jealousy. You wot yourself she may not wedden two at once, though you fight her nevermore. That one of you, albe him loath or lief, he must go piping in an ivy leaf. This is to say, she may not now have both, albe you never so jealous nor so wroth. And forthy I you put in this degree, that each of you shall have his destiny as him is shape, and hearken in what wise. Lo, here your end of that I shall devise. My will is this, for plat conclusion, without in any replication. If that you liketh, take it for the best, that each of you shall go where that him lest, freely, without in ransom or danger, and this day 50 weeks, far or near, ever each of you shall bring 100 knights armed for lists up at all rights, all ready to derain her by battle. And this behote I you without in fail, upon my truth, and as I am a knight, that whether of you both that has might, this is to say, that whether he or thou may with his 100, as I spoke of now, slay his contrary, or out of lists drive, then shall I give Emily to wive, to whom that fortune gives so fair a grace. The lists shall I maken in this place, and God so wisely on my soul rue, as I shall even judge be and true. You shall no other end with me maken, that one of you nay shall be dead or taken. And if you thinketh this is well y said, say your avice, and holdeth you a paid. This is your end, and your conclusion. Who looketh lightly now but Palamon? Who springeth up for joy but Arkite? Who could tell, or who could it indite, the joy that is maked in the place, when Theseus has done so fair a grace? But down on knee went every manner white, and thanking him with all their heart and might, and namely the Thebans often scythe. And thus with good hope and with heart blithe they take their leave, and homeward gan they ride, to Thebes, with its old walls wide.
This ends Disc 2. The Canterbury Tales, Disc 3.
The third part is devoted largely to descriptions of the stadium that Theseus builds, especially for this tournament, in particular its three temples, to Mars, Venus, and Diana. The descriptions of the temples are chilling. The paintings on their walls celebrate events that are consistently painful, horrible, or malevolent. Of Mars, the god of war, one might expect this, but not of Diana, goddess of virginity, or Venus, goddess of sexual love. And yet their temples are no less ugly. It is in these temples, to the pains of war and love, that the characters pray. Arkite to win victory, Palamon to win Emily, and Emily to be left alone. The prayers are ritualistic and studied, the product or container of ideas, rather than the passionate pleas of fully realized characters. The strife among the gods as to how these conflicting prayers are to be answered is disturbingly like the strife among the humans, and raises the question for Christian readers about the outcome of competing requests by people who ask God for opposing things. Presumably, even God cannot grant every petition. And does he want to? Does he care? Does a just and wise God rule this world at all? As Palamon had asked earlier, "What is mankind more unto you hold than is the sheep that rouketh in the fold? For slain is man right as another beast. What governance is in this prescience that guiltless tormenteth innocence?" Here in Part 3, Saturn, citing his own terrifying credentials, says he will settle it so that both men will get what they pray for. And the last part of the tale will show just how he does it. Here is Part 3 of the Knight's Tale.
I trow men would deem it negligence if I forget to tell 'em the dispense of Theseus that goes so busily to makin' up the lists royally, that such a noble theatre as it was, I dare well say, in this world there nuz. The circuit a mile was about, walled of stone and ditched all without. Round was the shape and manner of compass, full of degrees, the height of 60 paces, that when a man was set on 1 degree, he let it not his fellow for to see. Eastward there stood a gate of marble white, westward right such another in the opposite. And shortly to conclude, such a place was none in earth as in so little space. For in the land there was no crafty man that geometry or ars metric can, nor portrayer, nor carver of images, that Theseus ne gave him meat and wages, the theatre for to maken and devise. And for to do his rite and sacrifice, he eastward has, upon the gate above, in worship of Venus, goddess of love, done make an altar and an oratory. And on the westward, in memory of Mars, he maked has right such another, that cost largely of gold a father. And northward, in a turret on the wall, of alabaster white and red coral, an oratory rich for to see, in worship of Diane of Chastity, hath Theseus do wrought in noble wise. But yet had I forgotten to devise the noble carving and the portraitures, the shape, the countenance, and the figures that were in these oratories three. First, in the temple of Venus mayst thou see, wrought on the wall, full piteous to behold, the broken sleeps and the sighs cold, the sacred tears and the wamenting, the fiery strokes of the desiring that love's servants in this life endure, the oaths that their covenants assure, pleasance and hope, desire, foolhardiness, beauty and youth, bawdry, riches, charms and force, leasings, flattery, dispense, business and jealousy, that wore of yellow gold a garland and a cuckoo sitting on her hand. Feasts, instruments, carols, dances, lust and array, and all the circumstances of love, which that I reckoned and reckoned shall, by order were ypainted on the wall, and more than I can make of mention. Forsoothly all the mount of Cithaeron, where Venus has her principal dwelling, was showed on the wall in portraying, with all the garden and the lustiness. Not was forgotten the porter idleness, nor Narcissus the fair of yore agone, nor yet the folly of King Solomon, nor yet the great strength of Hercules, the enchantments of Medea and Circe, nor of Turnus with the hardy fierce courage, the rich Croesus, caitiff in servage. Thus may you see that wisdom nor riches, beauty nor sleight, strength, hardiness, ne may with Venus hold sham party. For as her list, the world then may she gee. Lo, all these folk so caught were in her lass, till they for woe full often said, alas! Sufficeth here examples one or two, although I could reckon 1,000 more. The statue of Venus, glorious for to see, was naked, floating in the large sea, and from the navel down all covered was with waves green and bright as any glass. A citole in her right hand had she, and on her head, full seemly for to see, a rose garland fresh and well-smelling. Above her head her doves flickering. Before her stood her son, Cupido. Upon his shoulders wings had he too, and blind he was, as it is often seen. A bow he bore, and arrows bright and keen. Why should I not as well eke tell you all the portraiture that was upon the wall within the temple of mighty Mars the Red? All painted was the wall in length and breadth, like to the estres of the grisly place that hight the great temple of Mars in Thrace. in Thilka, cold, frosty region, there as Mars has his sovereign mansion. First on the wall was painted a forest, in which there dwelleth neither man nor beast, with knotty, gnarly, barren trees old, of stubs sharp and hideous to behold, in which there ran a rumble in a swough, as though a storm should burst in every bough. And downward on a hill under a bent, there stood the temple of Mars omnipotent, wrought all of burned steel, of which the entry was long and straight and ghastly for to see. And there out came a rage, and such a vise, that it made all the gate for to rise. The northern light in at the doors shone, for window on the wall ne'er was there none, through which men might in any light discern. The door was all of adamant etern, y-clenched overthwart and end along, with iron tough, and for to make it strong, every pillar the temple to sustain was tonner great of iron bright and sheen. There saw I first the dark imagining of felony, and all the compassing, the cruel ire, red as any gleed, the pick-purse, and eke the pale dread, the smiler with the knife under the cloak, the shippen burning with the black smoke, the treason of the murdering in the bed, the open war with wounds all bebled, contest with bloody knife and sharp menace, all full of chirking was that sorry place. The slayer of himself yet saw I there, his heart's blood has bathed all his hair, the nail y-driven in the shode at night, the cold death with mouth gaping upright. Amidst of the temple sat mischance, with discomfort and sorry countenance, yet saw I woodness laughing in his rage, armed complaint, outhease, and fierce outrage. The carrion in the bush with throat y-carve, a thousand slain and not of qualm y-starve, the tyrant with the prey by force y-reft, the town destroyed, there was nothing left. Yet saw I burnt the ship's hopper stairs, the hunter strangled at the wild bears, the sow fretting the child right in the cradle, the cook is scalded for all his long ladle. Naught was forgotten by the infortune of Mart. The carter, overridden with his cart, under the wheel full low he lay adown. They were also of Mars's division, the barber and the butcher, and the smith that forges sharp swords on his stith. And all above, depainted in a tower, saw I Conquest, sitting in great honour, with the sharp sword over his head, hanging by a subtle twine's thread. Depainted was the slaughter of Julius, of great Nero, and of Antonius. Albe that thilke time they were unborn, yet was their death depainted there before, by menacing of Mars right by figure. So was it showed in that portraiture, as is depainted in the stars above, who shall be slain, or else dead for love. Sufficeth one example in stories old. I may not reckon them all, though I would. The statue of Mars upon a cart stood armed, and looked grim as he were wood. And over his head there shinen two figures of stars that be clepid in scriptures, that one Puella, that other Rubeus. This god of arms was arrayed thus. A wolf there stood before him at his feet, with eyes red, and of a man he eat. With subtle pencil painted was this story in redoubting of Mars and of his glory. Now to the temple of Diane the chaste, as shortly as I can I will me haste, to tell you all the description. Depainted be the walls up and down of hunting and of shamefast chastity. There saw I how woeful Callistope, when that Diana grieved was with her, was turned from a woman to a bear, and after was she made the lodestar. Thus was it painted, I can say you no far. Her son is eke a star, as men may see. There saw I Daphne turned to a tree. I mean not the goddess Diane, but Peneus' daughter, which that height a Dane. there saw I Actaeon a heart y maked, for vengeance that he saw Diane all naked. I saw how that his hounds have him caught, and fretten him, for that they knew him not. Yet painted was little furthermore, how Atalanta hunted the wild boar, and Meleager, and many another more, for which Diana wrought him care and woe. There saw I many another wonder story, the which me list not draw into memory. This goddess on a hart full high sat, with small hounds all about her feet, and underneath her feet she had a moon. Waxing it was, and should wane soon. In gaudy green her statue clothed was, with bow in hand and arrows in a case. Her eyes cast she full low adown, where Pluto has his dark region. A woman travailing was her beforn, but for her child so long was unborn, full piteously Lucina gan she call, and said, "Help, for thou mayest best of all." Well could he paint lifelike that it wrought, with many a florin he the hues bought. Now be these lists made, Theseus, that all his great cost arrayed thus the temples and the theatre every deal, when it was done, him liked wonder well. But stint I will of Theseus alight, and speak of Palamon and of Archite. The day approacheth of their returning, that ever each should 100 knights bring the battle to Dorane, as I you told. And to Athens their covenant for to hold, has ever each of them brought 100 knights, well armed for the war at all rights. And circly there trowed many a man, that never sithen that the world began, as for to speak of knighthood of their hand, as far as God has maked sea and land, nas of so few, so noble a company. For every wight that loved chivalry, and would, his thanks, have a passant name, has prayed that he might be of that game, and well was him that thereto chosen was. For if there fell to-morrow such a case, you know and well that every lusty knight that loveth paramours and has his might, were it in England or elsewhere, they would, their thanks, willin' to be there. To fighten for a lady, ben city, it were a lusty sight for to see. And right so fared they with Palamon. With him there went in knights many a one, some will be armed in a habergeon, and in a breastplate and a light gippon, and some will have a pair of plates large, and some will have a Prussian shield or targe. Some will be armed on his legs well, and have an axe, and some a mace of steel. There is no new guise that it nas old. Armed were they, as I have you told, ever each after his opinion. There mayest thou see coming with Palamon Lygurge himself, the great king of Thrace. Black was his beard, and manly was his face. The circles of his eyes in his head, they glowed betwixt in yellow and red. And like a griffin looked he about, with kemp hairs on his brows stout. His limbs great, his bronze hard and strong, his shoulders broad, his arms round and long, and as the guise was in his country, full high upon a car of gold stood he, with 4 white bulls in the traces. Instead of coat armor over his harness, with nails yellow and bright as any gold, he had a bearskin, coal black for old. His long hair was combed behind his back, as any raven's feather it shone for black. A wreath of gold, arm great, of huge weight, upon his head, set full of stones bright, of fine rubies and of diamonds. About his car there went white allants, 20 and more, as great as any steer, to hunting at the lion or the deer, and followed him with muzzle fast ybound, collared of gold, and tourettes filed round. 100 lords had he in his rout, armed full well, with hearts stern and stout. with Archytas in stories as men find, the great Emetrius, the king of Ind, upon a steed bay, trapped in steel, covered in cloth of gold diapered well, came riding like the god of arms, Mars. His coat armor was of cloth of tars, couched with pearls white and round and great. His saddle was of burned gold, new ibit, a mantlet upon his shoulder hanging, breadful of rubies, red as fire sparkling. His crisp hair like rings was iron, and that was yellow and glittered as the sun. His nose was high, his iron bright citron, his lips round, his colour was sanguine, a few frackens in his face isprind, betwixt in yellow and some deal black emind. And as a lion he, his looking, cast. Of 25 his age I cast. His beard was well begun for to spring. His voice was as a trumpet thundering. Upon his head he weared of laurel green a garland fresh and lusty for to seen. Upon his hand he bore for his delight an eagle tame as any lily white. 100 lords had he with him there, all armed, save their heads, in all their gear, full richly in all manner things. For trusteth well that dukes, earls, kings were gathered in this noble company for love and for increase of chivalry. About this king there ran on every part full many a tame lion and leopard. And in this wise, these lords all and some be on the Sunday to the city come about prime and in the town alight. This Theseus, this duke, this worthy knight, when he had brought them into his city and inned them, ever each at his degree, he feasteth them and does so great labor to easen them and do them all honor, that yet men weenen that no man's wit of no estate ne could amenden it. The minstrelsy, the service at the feast, the great gifts to the most and least, the rich array of Theseus's palace, nor who sat first or last upon the dais, what ladies fairest be and best dancing, or which of them can dance and best and sing, nor who most feelingly speaks of love, what hawks sitting on the perch above, what hounds lying on the floor adown. Of all this make I now no mention, but all the effect that thinketh me the best. Now comes the point, and hearken if you list. The Sunday night, ere day began to spring, when Palamon the lark heard sing, although it ne'er not day by hours too, yet sang the lark. And Palamon, right though, with holy heart and with a high courage, he rose to wend in on his pilgrimage, unto the blissful Cythere benign, I mean Venus honourable and dine. And in her hour he walketh forth apace, unto the lists where her temple was, and down he kneeleth, and with humble cheer and heart sore, he said, as you shall hear. Fairest of fair, O lady mine, Venus, daughter of Jove and spouse to Vulcanus, thou gladder of the mount of Cytheron, for Thilke love thou hadest to Adon, have pity of my bitter tears' smart, and take mine humble prayer at thine heart. Alas, I ne have no language to tell the effect nor the torments of my hell. My heart may my harms not bewray. I am so confused that I cannot say, but mercy, lady bright, that knowest well my thoughts, and seest what harms that I feel. Consider all this, and rue upon my sore, as wisely as I shall for evermore, am forth my might, thy true servant be, and hold in war always with chastity. That make I mine a vow, so you me help. I keep not of arms for to yelp, nor I ask not tomorrow to have victory, nor renown in this case, nor vainglory of prize of arms blown up and down. But I would have fully possession of Emily, and die in thy service. Find thou the manner how, and in what wise. I reck not but it may better be to have victory of them, or they of me, so that I have my lady in mine arms. For though so be that Mars is god of arms, your virtue is so great in heaven above that, if you list, I shall well have my love. Thy temple will I worship evermore, and on thine altar, where'er I ride or go, I will do sacrifice and fires beat. And if you will not so, my lady sweet, then pray I thee tomorrow with a spear that Archita me through the heart bear. Then reck I not when I have lost my life, though that Archita win her to his wife. This is the effect and end of my prayer. Give me my love, thou blissful lady dear. When the orison was done of Palamon, his sacrifice he did, and that anon, full piteously, with all circumstances. All tell I not as now his observances. But at the last, the statue of Venus shook, and made a sign whereby that he took that his prayer accepted was that day. For though the sign showed a delay, yet wist he well that granted was his boon, and with glad heart he went him home full soon. The third hour unequal that Palamon began to Venus's temple for to gone, uprose the sun, and uprose Emily, and to the temple of Diane gan she hie. Her maidens that she thither with her led full readily with them the fire they had, the incense, the clothes, and the remnant, all that to the sacrifice longen shall, the horns full of mead as was the guise. There lacked not to do her sacrifice. Smoking the temple, full of cloths fair, this Emily, with heart debonair, her body washed with water of a well. But how she did her rite I dare not tell, but it be anything in general, and yet it were a game to hear in all. To him that meaneth well it were no charge, but it is good a man be at his large. Her bright hair was combed untressed all. A crown of a green oak cereal upon her head was set, full fair and meet. Two fires on the altar gan she beat, and did her things, as men may behold, in stace of Thebes and other books old. When kindled was the fire, with piteous cheer, unto Diane she spoke, as you may hear. O chaste goddess of the woods green, to whom both heaven and earth and sea is seen, queen of the realm of Pluto, dark and low, goddess of maidens, that mine heart hast know full many a year, and wast what I desire, as keep me from thy vengeance and thine ire that Actaeon abought cruelly. Chaste goddess, well wast thou that I desire to be a maiden all my life, nor never will I be nor love nor wife. I am, thou wast, yet of thy company a maid, and love hunting and venery, and for to walken in the woods wild, and not to be a wife, and be with child. Not will I know company of man. Now, help me, lady, since you may and can, for those three forms that thou hast in thee. And Palamon, that has such love to me, and eke Archite, that loveth me so sore, this grace I pray thee without and more, ascend love and peace betwixt them two, and from me turn away their hearts, so that all their hot love and their desire, and all their busy torment and their fire be quenched, or turned in another place. And if so be, thou wilt not do me grace, or if my destiny be shapen so that I shall needs have one of them too, as send me him that most desireth me. Behold, goddess of clean chastity, the bitter tears that on my cheeks fall. Since thou art maid and keeper of us all, my maidenhood thou keep and well conserve, and while I live, a maid I will thee serve. The fires burn upon the altar clear, while Emily was thus in her prayer, but suddenly she saw a sight quaint, for right anon one of the fires quenched and quicked again, and after that anon the other fire was quenched and all agone. And as it quenched it made a whistling, as do these wet brands in their burning, and at the brand's end out ran anon, as it were, bloody drops, many a one. For which so sore aghast was Emily, that she was well nigh mad, and gan to cry, for she ne wister what it signified. But only for the fear thus as she cried, and wept that it was pity for to hear. And therewithal Diana gan appear, with bow in hand, right as an hunteress, and said, Daughter, stint thy heaviness. Among the gods high it is affirmed, and by eternal word written and confirmed, thou shalt be wedded unto one of those that have for thee so much care and woe, but unto which of them I may not tell. Farewell, for I ne may no longer dwell. The fires which that on mine altar burn shall thee declare an ere that thou go hence thine aventure of love as in this case. And with that word, the arrows in the case of the goddess clatter fast and ring, and forth she went, and made a vanishing. For which this Emily astonished was, and said, What amounteth this, alas? I put me in thy protection, Diana, and in thy disposition. And home she goes anon the next way. This is the effect. There is no more to say. The next hour of Mars following this, Archite unto the temple walk it is, of fierce Mars, to do his sacrifice, with all the rites of his pagan wise, with piteous heart and high devotion. Right thus to Mars he said his orison. O strong God, that in the realms cold of Thrace honored art and lord behold, and hast in every realm and every land of arms all the bridle in thine hand, and them fortunest as thee list devise, accept of me my piteous sacrifice. If so be that my youth may deserve, and that my might be worthy for to serve thy godhead, that I may be one of thine, then pray I thee to rue upon my pine. For thilka pain and thilka hot fire, in which thou, whilom, burnedest for desire, when that thou usedest the beauty of fair young fresh Venus free, and hadest her in arms at thy will, although thee once upon a time misfell, when Vulcanus had caught thee in his lass, and found thee lying by his wife, alas! For thilka sorrow that was in thine heart, have ruth as well upon my pains smart. I am young and uncunning as thou wast, and as I trow, with love offended most that ever was any live creature. For she that does me all this woe endure, ne recketh never whether I sink or fleet. And well I wot, ere she me mercy heat, I must with strength win her in the place. And well I wot, withouten help and grace of thee, ne may my strength not avail. Then help me, Lord, tomorrow in my battle, for thilka fire that whilom burned thee, as well as thilka fire now burneth me, and do that I tomorrow have victory. Mine be the travail, and thine be the glory. Thy sovereign temple will I most honour of any place, and always most labour in thy pleasance and in thy craft strong. and in thy temple I will my banner hang, and all the arms of my company, and evermore until that day I die, eternal fire I will before thee find. And eke to this avow I will me bind. My beard, my hair, that hangeth long adown,